And on the virtual Bible study tonight, we want to talk about our worship. You know, our worship should be about pleasing God, but is it?
Seems like there's a lot of emphasis of different religious groups on doing things that please men, attract men, entertain men. And what we're concerned is that we've actually lost the focus of worship. The focus of worship should be to please God, and it seems like there's a strong emphasis in trying to please men.
So we'll look at that tonight. Should we be interested in pleasing men and God, or just pleasing God, or just pleasing man? We'll talk about it on the virtual Bible study, and we'll get started right after this.
It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
We're back on the Virtual Bible Study. Thank you for joining us on the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, June 29th, 2017. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father Greg Gwynn is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, great to be with you
good
tonight.
Good to be with you tonight. And Kyle, you're behind the board. Kyle, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you behind, have capable hands behind the boards tonight, and thank you for being on the other end of the line tonight, and we'll look forward to hearing from you at 877-381-4567. You can email questions at collegeview.com. Use those contact number and contact email anytime throughout the week, whenever you may be listening to the program. If you've got questions or comments about anything you've heard, questions at collegeview.com or 877-381-4567. You're watching us live on the program tonight, as Chris is in the chat room. Hey, Chris, good to see you tonight. You can sign in there with other listeners and share your comments if you're listening at thevirtualbiblestudy.com. Also, check us out on Facebook, and you can stream us live there, as many do as well, and catch us in the archives on Facebook and share the post and the video with your friends if you would do that and help us get the word out there. Check us out on Facebook.
I don't think we're on our web page yet. I'm trying to figure out how to get this to go to our web page.
You can do it. And if you'd like a bumper sticker, you can send us an email with your snail mail address to questions@collegeview.com. You mentioned last week we may be getting some new versions of that bumper sticker, but those old ones are
very... We still got some. We haven't ordered any new ones yet, but hopefully we can soon. Well,
and those old ones may become collector's items, so you may want to get one. You got some, Kyle, you're sporting on your vehicle.
Oh, yeah, I got the two different kinds.
You got two versions. Oh, yeah. You're getting... Well,
I got the set.
You got the set. All right. We'll look forward to hearing from you again. Send us an email and get your bumper sticker to help us spread the word about the program. We're talking tonight about our worship, whether it should be pleasing to God or pleasing to man. A lot of folks in the religious world today are really focusing on worship that pleases them. Lots of amazing trends. Kyle, I don't know if you've seen the trend. Lots of churches are starting to meet in bars.
Well, yeah, I know we've discussed... churches meeting in bars and churches meeting in outdoor arenas for that sell for the livestock. I know they have
the rodeo churches.
Church over
yeah,
here. Yeah. Over here at the Tennessee Livestock Producers, and yeah, no, there's all kinds of arenas and just places that really aren't traditionally used for worship. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's it is interesting, and it is a trend that we're seeing. Certainly there is an impact, a focus on that. And I think, I don't know, Kyle, if you ever buy the livestock barn when they're having worship service, but I would imagine that there's quite a few people that are attending there.
I haven't been by there on the Sunday mornings. I know I just see the sign out there.
Based upon the number of churches that are popping up doing that, it appears the results and are very overwhelming for folks that is drawing the numbers. And so it is a reason for us to pause and consider what the Scriptures teach on that subject.
I think we're there, maybe.
Okay, all right, good.
Let me confirm, and if you're in the chat room, confirm that you are now able to see us.
All right.
No, maybe not.
Okay, well, you can keep working on it.
Maybe not. Go to, if you can't get us on our website, and I don't think you can, go to facebook.com/virtualbiblestudy And that will get you on our Facebook page.
All right.
But I don't think I've got us on our Facebook.
You can keep working on that. So lots of folks in the religious world that are focusing on that. Kyle and I can just tell. And if you want to swap places with Kyle, he can sit over here in your seat. Kyle, lots of folks are doing this in the religious world. We have to ask the question, is what God wants. And first and foremost, we can see that worship, it is possible for worship to not be pleasing to God. Now, if I'm going to worship God, I want him to be pleased with my worship. But the scriptures are very clear that it's possible to worship God in such a way that he's not pleased. So that needs to be the foundation of our discussion and our examination of this topic is, if I'm worshiping in a way that doesn't please God, then I want to avoid that. And it is possible to worship in a way that does not please God. John 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, we don't even have to get down to the fact and the examination of what spirit and truth means. Just from that one expression by Jesus, we can learn that there are certain criteria and requirements for worship. And if you don't worship in that fashion, whatever that fashion is, God's not pleased with it.
Yes, I think it's how we worship is just as important as who we worship, obviously. So it's just, and God has testified himself many times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament just how important worship is to him. And those who worshiped him wrong in the Old Testament were punished immediately. So it's just, God has a definite way of knowing which way he defines worship, how he wants to be worshipped, and how he doesn't want to be worshipped. He doesn't have to say how he doesn't want to be worshipped.
All right, so he tells us that we've got to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, truth obviously means that there's certain instructions that you've got to follow. Spirit obviously means that you need to have the right attitude and the right heart about it.
I think it's possible to go to an extreme of emphasizing one and neglecting the other. It takes both things. Both are necessary. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so both things are necessary. You know, we could be real strict about making sure everything was done exactly right according to the Bible, and we should be. But if we weren't sincere and genuine, and if our hearts weren't in it, if it wasn't from our inner man, if our spirit wasn't involved, it wouldn't be acceptable to God. So it takes both things.
So we're just getting down a fundamental principle and concept here that it is possible to worship God in a way that he doesn't approve, in a way that God is not pleased. And so whatever we decide about this idea of moving your church to a bar or a rodeo arena, just have to understand what that basic concept is, that it is possible to worship God in a way that he's not pleased. In to our questions earlier today, you asked, is it possible to offer worship to God that's not pleasing to him? Kent in Calhoun, Georgia replied, yes, Colossians 3, verse 17, that, as we know, says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. He says here that we have to do all things in Jesus' name or by his authority. And Kent adds, all acts of worship that are not authorized would be sin and non-pleasing to God. And so thank you for that, Kent, and certainly we would agree. Lots of examples we could look at of folks that did violate these principles.
Well, I think one thing that we want to emphasize is that lots of people would assume that anything you do is good. That if you call it worship, and if it's even nominally directed toward God, then he's going to accept that and everything will be good. And I really believe that a lot of people will be surprised at this idea that you can worship and God will not be pleased with your worship.
Yes, absolutely. And so that is something that would be a shock to some, you know, that if I'm doing something and I call it worship, then certainly God will be pleased and overjoyed. Not necessarily. For example, we can go back to the Old Testament and look at the example of Saul. When he was told to go and kill the Amalekites, and he disobeyed. He was supposed to thoroughly wipe them out, and he saved the king, and he saved the best of the animals. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, notice that Saul's excuse was he was going to worship God. He had disobeyed God in order to worship God, and he said he had done everything that the Lord had commanded, but Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said, and blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So Saul had utterly disobeyed the instructions that God had given him. And then in verse 15, Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." And verse 20, if you go down in 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So the idea here is that, well, we were going to have us a great big old sacrifice, Kyle, and we saved even the best. We didn't save the offcast. We saved the best because we wanted to worship God with that and offer sacrifice to the Lord. Now, folks in the religious world today would have said, well, God would certainly be happy about that. They're sacrificing, after all. This is service to God. God should be pleased and happy. But we understand that he wasn't. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, so Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." So God was not pleased with Saul for his ideas about worshiping. He didn't just say, well, they're worshiping me, that's all that matters. No, he says that it is to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. We've got to be obedient. We've got to be worshiping God in the way that he's prescribed, or else our worship is just like Saul's.
All right. I think that's exactly right. And again, people would be shocked maybe to... that's a really well-known Old Testament account, but I think people would be shocked to know that God, even though that was suggested as a great worship act, God was not pleased with it, and he wouldn't accept it.
All right.
And so the idea that we could worship God any way we want, that he doesn't care and he's pleased with anything that we would do, is just simply not right. The idea is that this is about God and not about us, and I think that's the thing we really got to emphasize.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll continue. There's more examples we can go to point to the fact that people who worship God any way that they please without yielding to his instructions were not acceptable to God. And it is possible then, as we can continue to build the case, it is possible to worship God in a way that's not pleasing to him. And we certainly want to avoid that. We'll take your thoughts on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this.
Got a question about something you've heard on the virtual Bible study? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Larry Raspberry, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with a question for you. Do you believe in parachutes? I suppose you do. You believe they exist, but that's not what I mean. There's a difference between believing something or someone exists and putting your confidence in it or him. One who has seen a parachute knows they exist, but has never put his confidence in one. Trying one on while standing on the ground isn't faith either. Going up in a plane intending to jump out with a parachute on is not faith in the parachute either. Opening the door at the moment of truth and gazing outside to the ground is not faith either. It is only when one jumps out the door, counts to 10, and pulls the ripcord that he has actually put his faith in the parachute. Many of you believe parachutes exist, but only a few have actually put your faith in one. Many people in the world say they believe God exists, but only a few put their faith in him for salvation by doing what he says. We'd love to help you in developing a saving faith in God. If we can be of assistance, please contact us. Send an email to questions@collegeview.com or call us at 877-381-4567. And thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. Temper gets you into trouble. Pride keeps you there. We live what we believe. All the rest is just religious talk. If you think living for the Lord is difficult, try dying without him. Man, wish I'd said that.
How about logging off of Facebook and getting into God's book? The virtual Bible study continues.
And we're back on the program tonight. A little bit of an irony there. We're having some trouble with Facebook, but getting that embedded on our website. But it's working on Facebook itself, so you do not want to get off Facebook tonight. So, we're talking about worship and the fact that it is possible to offer worship to God that's not pleasing to Him. Saul certainly did that, and his intentions to save the best of the Amalekites to offer sacrifice to God. Those in Amos chapter 2, talking here about the Israelites, very wicked they were at this time. In Amos chapter 2, beginning verse 6, for, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go in to the same girl to defile my holy name. Very wicked, very corrupt. The Israelites were not living as they should, and yet they were still continuing to worship God. So they were just living any way that they wanted to, worshiping God, and yet God tells them in Amos chapter 5, beginning of verse 21, what he thought about their worship. In Amos 5, verse 21, beginning, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fatted peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. God said, hey, you can worship me, but I'm not going to be pleased. I despise your worship, even though you're offering it to me. I despise it, I hate it. Because they were living a wicked life, God was not pleased with the worship of those Israelites in that day because of their wickedness. Again, building the case, the fact, just not getting into particulars, but just to the fact that God, folks in the past have worshipped God, and He's detested it, despised it, not accepted it. It's not been pleasing to Him.
If we don't get anything else across in our study tonight, I hope that people will pick up on that. Clearly explained throughout the scriptures is that you can worship God and He will not accept it. You can worship God and He won't be pleased. It's a historical reality in the Old Testament, and it's a reality in the world today.
In Deuteronomy chapter 12, the Israelites, as they were going to enter into the land of Canaan, were told that there were places where God did not want them to worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2, beginning, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, and you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Certainly, there's some restrictions on how the Israelites were to worship. And had they worshipped in these places with these things that they were told to destroy, God would not have accepted that worship. Again, just a basic fundamental principle that God doesn't accept anything and everything that one might call worship.
Don't you think some people might say, well, yeah, but that's Old Testament scripture. So far, Jacob, all the examples that you've referenced are from the Old Testament. Well, God was more of a God. Here's the argument that we made. God was more of a God of laws and regulations back in Old Testament times. He's a God of grace now, and he's much more tolerant and accepting than He was in Old Testament times. I think that might be a possible response. But we could prove the same thing that we're saying using these Old Testament examples, we could prove from some New Testament text too.
Continues to go in the New Testament as well. We looked at John 4, verse 24 as one of those New Testament passages that says that there are certain requirements for our worship. And Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9 is another passage where Jesus condemns certain types of worship as being vain. He says in Matthew 15, verse 8, beginning, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So there's a certain type of worship that Jesus says is vain if we're teaching and the doctrines as doctrines the commandments of men. That makes our worship vain. So there's some worship in the New Testament that God says is worthless, is not acceptable to Him.
Yeah, and then Paul, so Jesus stated that. The Apostle Paul stated in Colossians 2:18, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." In other words, Paul was saying some people could lead you astray and get you involved in some kinds of worship that are worthless, good for nothing. And so, again, I think it's important for us to stress that throughout the Bible, in both Old Testament texts and New Testament texts, we see that there's a kind of worship that you can do that God will not accept.
All right. So, we certainly don't want to be guilty of that. Could we be guilty of that? We'll have to talk about that as we go along, because just because we may be worshiping God on Sunday or some other day of the week doesn't mean that he's happy and he's pleased with it. Certainly, there are more things to consider.
Okay.
All right.
So, is it possible to offer worship to God that's not pleasing to him? And that's got to be a definite yes. I mean, I don't know how anybody could come to a different conclusion based upon the scriptures that have been offered.
Yep.
So the second question is, who is the proper object of our worship then? Is it God or is it man? And how would you prove or argue that we have to make God the object of what we're doing? Now, that seems like such an obvious point that we shouldn't even have to mention it. But there's some people who are really missing that. I've got a quote that was made by Victoria Osteen.
Mm-hmm.
She's the wife of Joel Osteen. I think probably everybody who's listening knows who Joel Osteen is. His wife, she sort of made some news headlines because some people really picked up on this pretty quickly, and she got some criticism for it, and I think rightfully so. Here's what she said. So they're at a worship assembly. She says, "I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. Amen."
Well, I wouldn't amen that, but and a lot of folks didn't. I think that she made a lot of waves with that statement.
But I think that we should probably be fair and say there is a sense in which worship. I mean, God exists. God is self-existence, and He's not dependent upon us to worship Him. He'd get along fine without that. He did for an eternity before He created man. He will do it for an eternity after the universe is destroyed. God doesn't need mortal human beings to worship Him in order for Him to exist. And so, in a sense, He doesn't need it. We understand that. But this statement suggests it's all about us. It's all about pleasing ourselves, feeling good, being happy. And that really makes man the object of the worship rather than God, and that's a big problem.
Yes, it is putting the center of it at man and what makes him happy, what pleases him. And then taking that to its logical conclusion then, I'm going to worship God, I'm going to serve God in things that make me happy, and if it doesn't make me happy, if God told me to do something and it doesn't make me happy, then I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be about me, and it's not going to be about God. That's probably pretty far down the spectrum, though, of how far out people have gotten, or at least how they vocalized it, but a lot of folks are doing very similar things in their worship and don't see any issue with it.
And basically, it's... you know, pretty much anything goes, and people are looking for that. They're looking for fun. They're looking for entertainment. They're looking for something that pleases them. Pretty often we get calls, and people want to know about what programs do you have for me or for my family, for my children, for my teenagers. And what people seem to be seeking in religion these days is how it serves me, how it suits me, rather than whether or not it's in accordance with God's will and pleasing to Him.
Yeah, certainly the scriptures tell us the exact opposite. They paint a different picture. In the Old Testament, again, they were told that they needed to be worshiping God and God alone. Exodus 34:14, "For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jehovah, is a jealous God." They were told they were only to worship God. Yeah. Now, that's different. A lot of folks today are worshiping themselves, it appears, but they were told only to worship God. On Psalm 86, verse 9, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Again, just told to worship God. Psalm 99, verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Worship God. Over and over again in the Old Testament, they're told to worship God.
And in the New Testament, Matthew 4, verse 10, Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And so Jesus understood the principle, taught it, instructed it, demanded it.
All right. So again, we're to worship God, not ourselves, contrary to what many are doing today.
You know, we could go even to the very famous statement in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Of course, that was a big problem among the Israelites. They didn't honor God, and they didn't place, and they worshiped other gods. And of course, they were going to be judged for that, and they suffered punishment from God because they had not worshiped him acceptably.
All right. 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. Kent in Collin, Georgia, to the question, would you argue that the proper object of our worship must be God? He references John 4:24 that we referenced earlier. God is a divine spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so the object of our worship is God, from John chapter 4, verse 24. Thank you for that, Kent. All right.
Let's grab our half-hour break to get our bullet point. And when we come back, let's talk about the danger of trying to please ourselves in worship. And maybe illustrate how people are doing that.
All right. What's the danger in that? It shouldn't be so bad after all, is it, to do what I want to do in worship? I mean, after all, I want to get some type of experience. I want to be moved. Is that a bad thing? We'll talk about that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues after this.
Wow. It isn't so hard to understand the Bible after all. There's more exciting study and discussion coming after these messages.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's Bullet Point. There's a natural tendency to compare ourselves to those who are around us. The result is a general conformity with the norms of the society in which we live. How we dress, talk, and act are affected to various degrees by what we observe in others. This conformity is not all possible for us to relate to those within our circle of influence. Paul said that, quote, unto the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning verse 20. A social oddball or misfit will have little ability to influence others in any positive way. A problem arises, however, when we take this comparing and conforming too far. We are warned, quote, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12, verse 2. The danger is that we will begin to imitate the people around us in ways that lead to sinful thoughts and actions. For example, we can dress, talk, and act like those in our society, but only insofar as it does not violate God's law. Stylish clothes are not wrong, but immodest ones are. Using popular phrases and expressions is okay, but not if they convey an evil message. Do you see what we mean? Ultimately, it becomes a matter of authority. What is your standard? How do you determine what is right and wrong? If societal norms constitute your highest authority, then you will be carried along with whatever becomes popular. This will inevitably lead to sinful choices. For instance, the popular culture would have condemned homosexuality 25 years ago. Today, it's widely accepted. The Bible, though, has never changed in its denunciation of this sin. Read Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 26. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Let's be sure of spiritual standing before God, not by the ever-changing popular trends, but by the absolute and unchangeable standard of His Word. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
God's Word has the answers. Let's get back to studying it. The Virtual Bible Study rolls along.
And we're back on the program tonight, reminding you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us by visiting our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. And we would encourage you to find out more about our worship there, about what we believe, what we practice. You can find out how to stream sermons or podcast sermons that have been recently presented to the College View Church. Find out more about us at thevirtualbiblestudy.com, and we'd like to hear from you. If you have a question about something you've heard, a comment, or you'd like to suggest a topic or a question to be considered for a future edition of the Virtual Bible Study, we welcome those comments or questions at any time. questions@collegeview.com. If you know somebody who would like to come and be a guest on the program, maybe someone who disagrees with something that we've said and would be willing to come and join us for a kind, friendly discussion about our disagreements, we'd welcome that as well at any time. questions@collegeview.com. Again, the email address to use. We're talking about our worship tonight. Is it to be pleasing to God or pleasing to man? And is our website pleasing to man tonight? Have you got it figured out?
No.
No. Striking out on that. Well, that's
it is. Facebook's made some changes on us, and
you're stuck. Well, that's okay.
We're kind of stuck.
That's all right. The folks are listening to Facebook, and they're commenting over at thevirtualbiblestudy.com. Maybe send you some comments at Facebook as well. You might want to check that there. And we'll just continue the discussion where we are. We're going to ride the horse that we're on right now because the other one is not working. We've looked at the fact that it is possible to offer worship to God that's not pleasing to Him, that our worship must be directed to God and not about man. And we asked then the question before the break, does the Bible address the problem of men abusing worship to please themselves?
I think they do, and I've got some examples, and I would encourage those who are listening, maybe you know some examples too, but came across this the other day. Lawrence Bishop, co-pastor of the Solid Rock Church in Monroe, Ohio, announced that he was going to ride a bull in the church building to get people to services.
Now, they were coming to watch, not to worship God. That's why he's pulling them in with the bull.
Well, he said so. He says, what God laid on our heart to do is to buck two wild rodeo bucking bulls inside the church sanctuary as a tool to get people to come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So they're coming not to worship God. They're coming to watch the bull riding.
And so the gospel's not the draw.
No.
The bull riding is the draw.
Okay.
And then ABC, that was from ChristianNews.net. Then ABC News, after the fact, reported what happened. In front of a packed church, Pastor Lawrence Bishop II climbed up on the back of a snorting, anxious bull named Bone Crusher. The animal was let loose, and Bishop hung on tight as he was bucked around the ring he built inside his Ohio church. He lasted about 3 seconds before being thrown off and trampled. Battered and bruised, the 48-year-old preacher then picked himself up, climbed to safety, and began his sermon. When he asked new believers to come forward to be baptized, the response was huge, and about 300 people stepped up.
Wow.
And so clearly that was, I mean, the draw was the bull riding, and it was to please the people who would come. They couldn't be drawn with just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had to come. Well, he would say, look at the end. The end justifies the means. 300 people were baptized that day. And so he would argue, I'm sure, that it was a great success. But you have to wonder, were those people converted to the Lord, or were they converted to a situation that pleased them?
Yeah, it's shocking. And a lot of folks would have a problem with that. You can't build a bull riding arena in the church building. You can't do that. That's over the top. That's too far. Well, on what basis do you say it's too far? Can you also then say, well, we're not going to do the bull riding, but we're going to do the light show and the smoke generator,
the rock band, praise groups.
We're going to tape the $100 bill underneath the one seat in the auditorium, and if you come in and it's under your seat, you get it. All kinds of stuff people are doing that they don't have a problem with. They say, the bull riding's too much. That's too far. Well, if that's too far, then what about the other things? Are those too far, and how do you determine that?
There's just tons of examples. Some of our listeners probably have heard of the Bar Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. It's a satellite of the Southern Hills Church of Christ, and it meets in a bar.
Yeah.
And here's a quote from their website, quote, sermons will be short, and alcohol will be served only when the service is over.
Mm-hmm.
So the promise is, we'll keep the preaching short, and you can have your booze as soon as we're done.
Yeah.
Who do you think that's aiming to please?
Yeah.
We have a church split off of a Church of Christ in Nashville that's now meeting in a bar. And you just wonder who are we trying to please here in these kinds of endeavors?
Is the focus of our worship on God or on men? Certainly some reason to stop and consider.
I think that's a huge problem in the religious world, obviously, that the focus is off of God and it's on to men, clearly.
Yeah. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 beginning, Jesus condemns the Pharisees because they were worshiping with a focus on themselves and not on God. They were worshiping to be seen by men. So there was their objective was not just to worship God. It was about pleasing themselves and stroking their ego. In Matthew 23, verse 5 beginning, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast and the best seats in the synagogues. They were worshiping God in order to please themselves, to get those accolades.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, we actually do have a case in the life of Jesus where it's clear that the people came in order to satisfy themselves. They came for selfish reasons. And this is a text in John chapter 6. In the first part of John chapter 6, Jesus actually fed a large crowd of people with just a handful of food. Two different episodes in the life of Jesus where he miraculously fed thousands of people with just a tiny little bit of food. And this was one of them. He fed 5,000 men with just, I think, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then the next day, they had not been promised food. They didn't come because they were promised food. The food was a subsequent activity.
Yep.
But the next day when Jesus perceived that they had now come in order to selfishly receive food, Jesus said in John 6, verse 26, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And then he urged them, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. So, and interestingly, Jesus didn't feed them that day.
Yeah.
He had fed them the previous day, but they weren't drawn with that. That wasn't the drawing card. That was actually something that came later. I think in the other episode where he served thousands, they had actually been with him 3 days before any food was offered to them.
Right.
Again, when Jesus perceived that they were following for selfish reasons to please themselves, he would not go along with that, and that would be applicable to kind of things we're talking about here.
All right, we asked the question to our listeners today: does the Bible address the problem of men abusing worship to please themselves? Kent replied with a yes, and he references Colossians 2 verses 20 through 23, which says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as a living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." And so they were engaged in certain religious activities that were a formula prescribed by men, commandments of men, and it was worthless, and they were condemned for that. And we can do the same when we're worshiping in a way that man has prescribed for the pleasing of man, and worshiping so that they're happy.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Again, when worship becomes self-centered, when it's focused on satisfying our fleshly desires, our likes and dislikes, and when it's not aimed at the one who is the right and proper object of worship, it's just not acceptable.
All right.
Now, a simple question here. With these principles put in place, you can worship God in such a way that he will not accept it. And in order for him to accept it, he has to be the object of worship. He has to be the focus of the worship. It has to be in accordance with his will. I would just throw out a question to our listeners. What percentage of the worship that's done, of that which is called worship, bull riding and all the rest, of that which is called worship, how much do you think is really registering favorably with God? I would have to think that an incredibly small percentage of all the things called worship are even close to that which God desires.
All right. Now, again, in the extreme, I can see the principle. I can see that the bull riding is too much, that that's not going to be pleasing to God, that that's all about the audience, what they want, and their entertainment, their pleasure. But is it possible that I'm doing the same to a different degree? We need to get a break, and when we get back, we'll take that question up. What are some ways that men have made worship about pleasing themselves instead of pleasing? Some ways,
and it's not and it's not just bull riding.
It's not. It could be me.
Yeah.
It could be you on the other end of the line tonight.
Yeah.
Where you're just as guilty as the guy riding the bull in the arena in the church building.
Yeah.
What are some ways that we can be guilty of that? We need to look at that and do a little self-examination when we get back. So we hope you'll stay tuned. We'll go to the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
Don't go anywhere. You might miss something. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
Hi, I'm Lane Crawford, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you've never visited with the College View Church of Christ, you may be wondering what our worship services are like. One thing we have at every worship service is music. We believe God has commanded that music be a part of our worship. But something you may notice about our worship is that the music we have in our worship is different than the music used by many in the religious world today. The music we worship God with is strictly vocal. We don't believe God has commanded us to worship Him with instrumental music. Therefore, since we want God to approve of the worship we offer Him, we only worship in the way that He has specified. In Colossians 3:16, God instructs, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Instructions like this, in which only vocal music is commanded, are the only instructions we can find in the New Testament. Since God didn't tell us that He wanted us to worship Him with instrumental music, how can we be sure that He wants that kind of worship? We do know that if we worship God like He prescribed, with vocal music, that He'll be happy with that kind of worship. We hope you'll make plans to visit with the College View Church of Christ to learn more about what our worship is like. We'd love to have you join us in worship of our Creator this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
We're tracking the trends on the Virtual Bible Study. Worldwide, more than 8 in 10 people identify with a religious group. There are 5.8 billion religiously affiliated adults and children around the globe, representing 84% of the 2010 world population of 6.9 billion. 2.2 billion Christians, 32% of the world's population. 1.6 billion Muslims, 23%. 1 billion Hindus, 15%. Nearly 500 million Buddhists, 7%. And 14 million Jews, 0.2% around the world as of 2010. Roughly 1 in 6 people around the globe, that's 1.1 billion or 16%, have no religious affiliation. This makes the unaffiliated the third largest religious group worldwide, behind Christians and Muslims, and about equal in size to the world's Catholic population. That information is via Pew Research Center. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 12, beginning verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil."
See, I told you we'd be back. The Virtual Bible Study continues.
And we're back on the program going to the top of the hour. As we've looked at some basic principles, and it's very easy to establish from the scriptures tonight as we have, that it's possible to worship, offer God worship that's not pleasing to Him. They did it in the Old Testament. They did it in the New Testament. Not everything that is called worship is acceptable and pleasing to God. Basic principle number one. Basic principle number two is that God must be the object of our worship. We're worshiping God. We're not worshiping ourselves. And that men have been guilty. As we looked at basic principle number three, men have been guilty throughout time of worshiping them, to abusing worship to please themselves. They did it in the Old Testament. They did it in the New Testament. And then the conclusion of the matter tonight in our discussion is we want to make sure that we're not guilty of the same. We want to look at some ways that men have made worship about pleasing themselves instead of about pleasing God.
Kent from Calhoun, Georgia, has made a kind of a list of things that individuals have invented to please themselves.
I read that inverted. I shouldn't have read. I didn't read it.
You ought to read that earlier.
No. I just as you're going through there, I read instead of invented, I put invert. I read inverted in my mind. But that's what's happening, isn't it? People are inverting this picture that it's all about them. They're putting them at the top here. But God is the one who needs to be worshipped.
So here's some of the things he mentioned. Mechanical instruments of music added to singing. You know, we just did a program a couple weeks ago, Jacob, on whether or not instrumental music was acceptable to God. And the conclusion was clear that in New Testament worship, we should not be using instrumental music, but almost everybody does.
Yeah.
And so right there, you would catch a whole bunch of people in unacceptable worship because they're doing something that's not authorized by God.
Oh, but wait a minute. That instrument really helps me be uplifted.
Well, there you go. It's about me, isn't it? See, that's what we've been talking about all night long. People are going to justify that by what they like instead of what God has authorized. That right there in itself is a real great illustration of the point that we're making.
All right.
Because what everybody says about instrumental music is, I like it.
It uplifts me.
It helps me. It pleases me.
It sounds so good.
It sounds good. It really gets me into the worship.
And so that's the determining factor, whether or not we're going to have it.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Then that's not worried about pleasing God, is it? It's more about pleasing me.
Kent goes on to mention burning of incense, lighting of candles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of things are often done to evoke emotional responses.
Yeah.
And so this overt emotionalism of modern day worship is, well, does that make God more pleased? No, it makes me feel like I've had a greater experience.
Okay.
Then he mentions a couple of things that the Catholics have done, praying to Mary, using of a rosary, veneration of so-called saints.
Yeah.
All of those things certainly are. We've actually done programs on the virtual Bible study in the past where we talked about some abuses that the Catholics have introduced. Changes the observance of the Lord's Supper. We've seen this in recent years among churches of Christ, especially. We've seen some changes about the observance of the Lord's Supper, all intended to make people feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what? If that's the goal, then we can change lots of things. But if we're trying to do it simply to please God, we'll do it His way. Turning the song service, singing of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, into entertainment. I think the expression they use now is praise teams. They have these praise teams, you know, that they get up and perform before an assembly. Special singing group. So all of those things that Kent mentioned, I think, are really good.
Absolutely. Thank you for those, Kent. And he mentions two examples that we didn't include in our discussion, which we should have. Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, he offered sacrifice that wasn't pleasing to God. It was a sacrifice. By definition, a sacrifice means he's giving up. He's making some type of offering to the Lord. He's well, really, there's no other way to say it than making a sacrifice. He was giving himself. Say, oh, that's so nice of you. That's wonderful.
And I love you for it, and I accept it.
Oh, it's you did it, and that's whatever you want to do is great. No, God didn't accept him. He says
in fact, this is real interesting because the episode with Cain and Abel is really the first recorded act of worship.
And there was somebody abusing it at the very beginning.
At the very start, there was somebody who didn't do it the way they should, and their worship wasn't accepted.
And notice what God says in verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? The inverse of that would be, if you don't do well, you won't be accepted.
Exactly.
If you do well, you will be accepted. If you don't do well, you won't be accepted. God didn't accept his worship. God's not accepting many people's worship today as they seek to please themselves. And then he also mentions Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. We have to mention them as well because they were serving God and making sacrifices, going to some effort here, no doubt. It wasn't easy to offer a sacrifice to God.
And they were burning incense. I mean, all of that's good, right?
Yeah, and notice in chapter 10 of Leviticus, verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took a censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, not following the instructions that they had been given. They were doing worship. They were sacrificing to the Lord. And God said, I've got no use for that. He struck them dead. And, you know, it's amazing.
Well, now, I got to just stop there. Isn't that being kind of picky? I mean, fire is fire. Incense is incense. I mean, Are you serious to tell me that they had to take their fire from a specific place before God could be pleased? And of course, the answer is absolutely yes. They had to worship God specifically and exactly like He had instructed. And if they didn't, it wasn't pleasing to God. And so the Nadab and Abihu are a great example of the fact you worship God, and it's definitely not pleasing to Him. And they even died for it.
Here's what God said about worship there in verse 3, after He struck them dead. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near Me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So God is not glorified, God is not worshipped, if we're not following His commands. And for reminding us of that important principle, that when we're serving ourselves, when we're doing what we want to do instead of what God wants to do, God is not pleased. We've got to make sure we're following His instructions. Ramona talks about some ways that men have made worship about pleasing themselves instead of pleasing God. She gets close to that, what you were talking there about, Victoria Osteen. She references the prosperity minister.
Yeah.
That certainly, I mean, I don't know if it gets any more detail, no more obvious than that when you look at those who are worshiping at the altar of those characters. Boy, certainly it is about pleasing themselves instead of about pleasing God. It's about what will make me healthy, wealthy, and wise, not about what God wants me to be doing.
All right, I've been overlooking several comments on the Facebook page, Jacob. Let me run back and catch them. Kevin is
Kevin.
Watching on the road in Nashville.
Tonight. Nashville, Kevin. Yeah. You should have come down here and helped us with our technical difficulties.
Yeah. Harold says
hey, Harold.
That there was a problem that Paul states in Romans 1:25, worshiping the creature more than the Creator.
There you go. Yeah.
In other words, it was worship, but it clearly wasn't right.
Yep.
Kevin says, how can we know how to worship unless the one to be worshiped tells us what's expected? How can I expect my worship expect my worship to be exceeds from the requirement of the one who we're worshiping?
Yeah, yeah.
Harold says, when we worship the creature more than Creator, we're actually engaged in idolatry.
There you go.
And the results of that, of worshiping anything, anyone other than God, are spelled out in Romans 1, beginning verse 21, all the way to the beginning.
All the terrible things that they were doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Kristen, wait a minute, let me get back to that. How did I lose that?
Oh, boy.
Let me go back here. All
right.
Oh, boy.
A little user error there. That's okay.
User error. I'll get back to it. Go ahead.
All right. Well, there's other ways that we can be guilty of making worship about pleasing ourselves instead of about pleasing God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, when we are not devoted to hearing the entirety of God's truth, then our worship and our service to God will not be what it should be. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. There was going to come a time, and I think that time is here now, when folks will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the unadulterated truths of God's Word. They want a watered-down version.
And
they
so,
want to be entertained. They don't want
so
to hear hard
teaching.
And so
you even hear preachers who specifically say that they won't preach on certain themes. They just want to preach. I've known of preachers who specifically said they just want to deal with positive things. They don't want to talk about anything negative. And so they actually eliminate from their preaching anything that would be considered negative, and they only want to deal with positive things, and they're not teaching the whole counsel of God. You know, Paul said to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, let me get to that, in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
The whole counsel of God.
But there, lots of preachers today would not be able to
say that. Won't cover those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
And so when we, this is just evidence of the fact we're trying to please men rather than God. If there are biblical topics that I won't cover, I know God wants them to be covered because He included them in the Bible. But if I don't, if I won't deal with them, who am I trying to please here?
Yeah.
Pretty obvious I'm trying to please men, right?
Yep, it's not going to be acceptable to God.
I got back to Kristen's comment. She says, I'm guilty of feeling unsatisfied if we struggle with our song service or something else of that nature. But we are truly blessed to be able to worship God, period, and I always try to keep that in mind. In other words, I think Kristen is saying, if I think the songs were flat or too slow or not the ones I like, and I feel like the worship wasn't really great because I didn't get to sing the songs I wanted, or I didn't sing them, but they didn't get sung very well or something.
How many times have you heard that? I mean, you hear that comment. Oh, they didn't leave they leave those old songs all the time, or they drug that song on so long, this tempo was so slow. What's this about? Is it about pleasing me or pleasing God? Now, certainly we want our song service to be as good as it can be, but if I'm disappointed because it wasn't something that I liked, is that really about worshiping God, or is it about worshiping myself, pleasing myself?
Exactly right.
Good comment, Kristen. Thank you for that.
Some other examples, ways that that you can see that people are trying to please men rather than please God. What about worship that just sort of goes through habitual repetition without any meaning?
Yeah.
You know, for instance, if you can maybe picture in your mind some worship scenes where people are just sort of chanting repetitive phrases.
I don't know if you've ever been in the car listening to those Catholic radio stations where they're doing the rosary or at night, or they're doing those chants. Boy, I tell you, it's just mind-numbing.
Yeah.
There's certainly not any thinking about that. It's blah, 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 and then the audience, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just certainly vain repetition.
So if it's just something that is done to sort of put people in a trance or to get them to an emotional state of some sort or another, but it's not according to the will of God, who are we doing it for? We're doing it for God or for man?
Yep. Matthew 6, verse 7 references those vain repetitions.
Yeah. And then I would argue, Jacob, and we're just about out of time, but I would argue that anything that we do that it is not does not maintain proper order. The text I have in mind, of course, is 1 Corinthians 14:33. Let all things be done decently and in order. If it's just sort of a uncontrolled, spontaneous, off the cuff kind of a situation, that's not the worship God asked for.
All right. So as we look at this and consider the question at the end of the program again, could I be guilty of this? We have to remember Colossians 2, verse 17, or 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. I've got to have authority for all that I do. That includes my worship. I've got to be worshiping God in a way that he has instructed. And that goes back to John 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I've got to follow the instructions he's given me. I look all through the scriptures, Old and New Testament. People are condemned. God didn't accept their worship because they didn't do it the way he told them to do it. So clear. And he also condemned them for not worshiping with the right heart and with the right attitude. And if I'm not doing those things, even though I call it worship, but I'm doing it because it's what I want to do, and it's following the pattern that I made up, God's not going to be pleased.
Exactly right.
All right.
So I think it's a worthwhile study. I'm just sad to say, a lot of people are missing it pretty badly.
It's very important, very critical, and we've got to examine ourselves and examine our worship and ask, am I worshiping God the way that he would have me to worship him? That's an important question, Kyle, and it's something that we all need to consider.
It is. I think it's just a parting thought. The past few weeks we've done a cursory look through the Proverbs. Last night we talked about pride, and that's something we need to do some self-reflecting and make sure that we're not being prideful about our worship, that we're not saying, well, I know I'm worshiping right. We need to really look at our worship and put our own pride aside and to see, are we worshiping God the way he wants to be worshiped?
I think that's a really good point. What would be the reason why I would want to do it to please myself rather than doing it how I know God would be pleased, and that would be pride. Yeah. I think you're right.
And as we can't, none of us are immune to this. We could be part of a church that does everything exactly like God said to do it. But if our heart's not right, as Kristen mentioned in her comment, if my attitude is not right about this, and I've got some motives here that aren't right, if I've got some attitudes about the worship that aren't right, I can be just as guilty as the guy that's riding the bull in the arena in the church building.
Yeah.
So we've got to be very careful about that. All right, we're out of time.
All right.
Kyle, thanks for helping us get on the air tonight.
It was a good study.
Glad to have you here.
We'll try to get some of our technical issues ironed out before next week.
Yeah, we got out there, though, and if you're listening to the podcast, you'll never know the difference, hopefully. So thank you for being here. And we hope that you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word. We hope you'll make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, wish in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.